Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, we pray. Amen. Next week, you might have noticed, is our annual covenant service, and you should have received a little preparation notebook and a bookmark with the words of our covenant prayer on it. And if there weren't enough to go around, please let me know, or photocopy somebody's. We have a photocopying machine in the office, so we can make a few more if we need to. But this week I invite us to prepare for those words that we'll say next Sunday in our service, as we offer ourselves to God, inviting God to use us as He wills. We will say some amazing things like, "Let me be employed for you. Let me be laid aside for you." We'll say words like, "Let me have all things. Let me have nothing." As we surrender ourselves completely to our God. And it would be quite easy for us to say those words and not mean them at all. But if we do say them and do mean them, we open ourselves up to God inviting us, God taking us and using us to His purpose. The thing about being used is that we need to learn to listen. I'm someone who hears a lot, but I seldom listen. And my wife will tell you how many times I hear, "Please, won't you wash the dishes?" And it's only when I listen that I actually get around to washing them. Or, "Please, won't you take out the trash?" And it's only when I listen that I actually do that. So I want to talk a bit about listening to God. About how we can open ourselves up to hearing what God is calling us to do, so that we can fulfill the words of that covenant prayer which we will say next Sunday, as we invite God to use us or not use us, to make us rich or to make us poor, as we allow God to have God's way with us. Nathaniel reminds me that we need to be honest in our listening. We need to be critical of what we hear and investigate it. Samuel reminds us that often God is speaking to us, calling us, and we think it's something else or somebody else. So I first turn to Samuel from 1 Samuel chapter 3, where we read the beginning of the story of the young prophet Samuel, whom God used to anoint David as king of Israel, who was the last prophetic judge of Israel. And God calls Samuel with a loud and clear voice while he is sleeping in the temple. And when he hears his name called, he runs to his master Eli's room. "You called?" he says. 3 times he does that, but eventually Eli guides Samuel, saying, "Go, lie down again, and if you hear that voice again, if you get called again, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" When Samuel does as Eli has told him to do, he hears what God is saying. And the first lesson I think that we need to learn about listening to God is that we hear better as a community. God didn't gather us into congregations and systems of accountability for nothing. And as church, we have learnt over the years that we listen to God more responsibly as a group. And that's my experience, as I felt myself being called to the ministry of word and sacrament, for which I'll be ordained at the end of this year. And I didn't just go and say to the church, "Hey, God called me, can I be a minister now?" And they said, "Yeah, cool, we'll ordain you." But only after, I think, I haven't counted, but it'll be about 6 or 7 years of discernment of this call, that the church will say to me, "Yes, we think you are called by God, and we want you to be a minister." The whole church has to hear my call and approve of it. The danger is that we often delude ourselves, thinking that we are the ones who hear the voice of God, thinking that God is calling us to such and such and so, and often it is just our pride or our sinful nature that's speaking to us. And this God voice that we pretend to hear could tell us to do exactly what we would like it to tell us. We would quickly become deluded by our imaginations if we didn't bring it to the community and say, I believe God is calling me. What do you think? So Samuel learnt to listen for the voice of God from Eli, who discipled him, who taught him. The text also tells us that Samuel didn't recognize God's voice because God's voice was rare in those days. He hadn't heard the word of the Lord before. And that phrase, word of the Lord, does not refer only to the Bible, as we are sometimes tempted to think. But it speaks more generally about the message of God. The message which God conveys to people, a living voice. God speaking in the present. And our experience helps as we consider the experiences of those around us who have heard God speaking to them before. As we listen to them and ask them, how did you discern that it was God speaking to you? We also discern that voice as we study the experience of those who have gone before us, especially the experience of those prophets and leaders called in the Old Testament and the New, who record what they heard God say to them in the Scriptures. Our experience is also influenced by our understanding of what Jesus says. Jesus is the embodiment of the message of God. When God calls us, we think, to dominate and to have power, we need to measure that against the call which God places to us in Jesus, that call to surrender, to love sacrificially. We begin to become familiar with the way that God speaks to us as we read the Scriptures. And we open ourselves to hearing God in the here and now as God calls us. Like Samuel, Nathanael, whom we read about in the Gospel, is a bit slow to listen. And I think it's actually okay to sometimes be slow to listen. Nathanael is one of those people, I think, who carefully discerns what he has heard, who tests it, and resolves to act on it when he knows that it is truly the voice of God. It's hard to know exactly what Jesus meant when he saw Nathanael and said, here is a true Israelite in whom there is no deceit. But I guess we get some insight into Nathanael's character as he's quick to question this Jesus who claims to be the prophet. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Nathanael was one of those honest sorts who spoke his mind, who called a spade, and hopefully was honest with himself. I also guess from Jesus' conversation with Nathanael that Nathanael was a serious student of the Scriptures. Philip goes to him and says, this is the one about whom Moses wrote in the Law and the Prophets. So we know that Nathanael is a serious student. And when Nathanael says, how did I know you? How do you know me? Jesus says, I saw you under the fig tree. The fig tree was a common place for teachers and students together to be taught the Scriptures and to discuss them as a group. And so I guess that Nathanael is an honest seeker, someone who carefully discerns what God is calling him to do. And because Jesus proves to him that he is who he is, Nathanael is able to make the response of faith, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel, and follow him as a disciple. Often as Christians, we learn to be afraid or ashamed of our doubts. we learn that it's not good to question those in authority, those who tell us what they think. And I think that's a kind of false attitude to have. That which is true can withstand questioning. I was reading a book the other day by a theologian, Paul Scott McKnight, and he says in it, the Bible needs no more defending than a lion. When we question what we hear, we begin to have a deeper faith, a more sincere faith. And we are able to respond as we should with all of our lives, and not just with that which is superficial. I don't know about this imaginary child that people have often told us about, when they say, you must have faith like a child and just believe what people tell you. I don't know if whoever thought that up had ever met a child, or any of the children I've met. Because whenever you tell them something, they ask you another question. Is that so? Is that so? And why? And why? Because they want to know what is true, what they can trust. And when Jesus asks us to become like children, he speaks of humility and dependence, not on us giving up our minds. Through honest questioning, we come to the truth. And when we know that what we hear is true, we are able to work for the kingdom in a way that is in some ways unbelievable. And Jesus says to Nathanael on his response, you will see heaven opened and the angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. I promise that Nathanael will see Jesus enthroned as king, not only of this earth of Israel, but of heaven as well. So we are invited to apply our minds when we hear God speaking to us. And in conclusion, I look at Psalm 139, and I haven't sort of spoken about this very much, but this year is my ordination year, hopefully, if everything goes well. On the 20th of September, I will go to Pietermaritzburg, and in the gathering of conference of the Methodist Church with representatives from our church all over Southern Africa, the church will ordain me as a minister. And this journey towards ordination began when I was wondering whether it was God who was speaking to me, calling me to become a minister. And I argued with God, saying, you've got the wrong guy. This is not what I should do. I ask too many questions. I'm difficult. I'm moody. I'm stubborn. I sometimes don't really like having too many people around. All of those things that I said to God that just wouldn't make me suited to the ministry. And it was when I was reading Psalm 139 that I felt God saying to me, I made you just the way you are, and I call you just the way you are. And there's something about that that struck me. That if God loves us more than anyone we know, if God knows us better than anyone we know, and God calls us with that love and with that knowledge, whatever God calls us to do will be exactly what God has created us for. We will be able to be obedient to him, even if that means giving up our security, even if that means being wealthy or being poor, because God created us, formed us in our inmost parts, knows every aspect of our lives that has made us who we are today, and is able with wisdom and love to call us to be the people that he created us to be. So my prayer for us this week as we prepare to say the words of our covenant service together is that we would not only commit to doing what God has called us to do, but that we would learn to listen too. Not just to hear, as we often do when we read the scriptures and hear the stories of Jesus, but to listen, to respond to what God is calling us to do. And I know that in the power of God's grace and love, when we are obedient, we will be able to say that we have seen the kingdom of God in this place. And maybe we'd be able to say that we have seen angels descending and ascending upon the Son of Man as he is crowned King of heaven, of our land, and of our hearts. Amen. I'm now able to discern your voice and what it sounds like as you speak to us. We thank you that ultimately you revealed yourself to us in Jesus Christ, who gave up everything but love as he came to earth. Help us to be obedient to you as he was obedient to you. And we pray, Lord, that we would see your kingdom coming in this place. Lord, we lift up to you the prayers of our hearts and the prayers of this community. We pray especially for our country, that you would be with her leaders and rulers, that you would guard her children and grant her peace. We pray for the region of Southern Africa. We think of those who suffer with cholera in Zimbabwe and in Zimbabwe. We pray, Lord, that you would bring healing and wholeness not only to them but to the society of which we are a part. We pray for our church in the world. Pray that we would be a witness of your love and grace to all those around us. At this time, we pray especially for those whom we know who have asked for prayers. We pray for Hayden as he visits with his dad in America, who is not well. We pray for Brenda, who is not with us today as she suffers with laryngitis. Pray that you strengthen her and help her also to care for her husband Hayden. We pray for Amy as she goes for tests. And for Katie and the staff and students of Stellenzicht Senior Secondary School, that you help them to be who you call them to be in this year. Today we continue to pray for young Malachi, and we give thanks for the fact that Malachi's operation was a success. We continue to pray for Katie and Ollie Windridge in their mission work in India, for Gemma and Daniel Roberts in their calling to ministry. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to work with us in our projects in this community, in Ibekweni, in Paul. We pray for the Salvation Army, Island of Hope. Pray for the work of NORSA, for the kangaroo parents, for all those who work out your will in the world around us. In your precious name we pray. Amen. We close our service this morning by singing the hymn, Master Speak, by Servant Hearing.